Hi, everyone. This represents a toddler. So that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Doing a little discipline chat. Okay, I think, as you see, there's only one chair. In sadness, I have to say, Marna is out of town. But she is being a grandma, so there you go. And I think today is her real birthday, huh? Tomorrow is her real birthday, yeah, so that's fun. Yeah, so, okay, the people in the front row, can you raise your hand? Hello. You all get a $25 gift certificate to the bookstore because you sat in the front. Thank you very much. There you go. That's fun. Okay. The rest of you, obey later. Just kidding. See, there's reward in obedience. Funny, that's what we're talking about tonight. So a couple things for your homework. You notice we don't have a study for this whole mom time. And I'm just shooting out little nuggets here and there. And some of those nuggets, I want you to go to the bookstore and grab. And so you guys, complimentary, get this book, Let Me Be Woman. Okay? So it's in the bookstore. The rest of you, you have to buy it. But these people get it for free. So this is one of the best books ever. And I highly, highly, highly suggest that you have it in your arsenal because we are in a society right now that's questioning everything. And you're going to read this book and go, wow, yes, I'm in the right place. I am walking with God. I'm embracing my role. It's okay for me to love God and say that. It's okay for me to say that I love my husband. And if you're a single mom, and it's okay for you to love people and serve people and be a woman doing it, you know, where it's okay. And this book is going to help you so much. Single or married, not married, wherever you're at in life, it will be very helpful. So Elizabeth Elliot is one of those people that is extremely special through the year. She's in heaven now, but I would suggest not just one, but maybe a few of her books. Go ahead and get those under your belt and give away to friends because she, like none other, she has words of wisdom to share. So tonight when we start though, speaking of words of wisdom, I want us to write down Proverbs, or if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn it to Proverbs 19, verse 18. And that is going to be sort of the pivot as to what we're going to be talking about this evening. And I'm so glad you guys are here. So many things that we're talking about each week are kind of repeated in terms of our mentality, but there's a lot of specific things. So tonight is going to be the introduction of what has kind of been come to known as the happy chat. So we're going to be talking about that, but for reference, I want you to look at Proverbs 19:18, if I could actually get there myself. Okay, here we go. Verse 18 says, discipline your son, for in that there is hope. So while there is still hope, do not be a willing party to his death. So as you guys have been told at different studies, or maybe from one of mine, in the book of Proverbs, there's 31 chapters. And so it is so great to throw that into your daily reading. Or if you're in between studies, or if you're in between reading, or if you don't really have a devotional that you like, just find out what day it is. Look at your phone. Oh, okay, it's the 23rd or the 24th or whatever day. And so tomorrow I'll read Proverbs chapter 23. Maybe today is 22, like that. You get what I'm saying. I'm not in the right time zone, but we're talking about the same thing. So on the 19th, you would read Proverbs 19. So by the time you go through the year, you would have read Proverbs 19 12 times. So it starts to become more familiar to you in terms of the discipline piece for your home. I mean, when you're at the phase you're at now, when the kids are little and you're like, maybe you've got someone who's just turning out of one and they've got a lot of words, or maybe you have multiple amounts of kids and there's a lot of words and all of that. Proverbs is very stabilizing. I'm going to say it in that way because you look at it month in and month out, and you start recognizing, oh, wow, there's actually a lot right here in Proverbs that the Lord talks about that's actually very controlled and very logical, and it just really makes sense and actually helps give me a sense of purpose as to why I would like order in my home. So that's one reason why I'm going to try to sell you tonight on Proverbs, one a day, to keep the spanks away, right? So it will help you because you will understand, oh my goodness, so the reason why I actually have to work on correction is the wisdom piece and how it actually will pay my child back. Like right here in verse 18, it says, discipline your son while there is hope, right? In other words, don't back down. And we live in a society right now that's asking you to give up your rights as a parent. And you need to say, I will not back down from what God's given me in terms of the right to be a parent. So that's just a freebie for you. That's not even the introduction. I'm just throwing that out because I want you to know, hey, read Proverbs. So now we'll actually start. So I'd like to go back through and review a little bit just based off the notes that Marna and I have been putting together. She's been so sweet to join me in this. So tonight we get to the phase where we have to put our money where our mouth is, so to speak, right? So we've prepped you for the past 2-3 weeks just on the mindset behind discipline, what that looks like, how discipline within your child actually starts with you as a mom. So if you missed the first couple, I highly suggest to go back and just listen to those. It'll catch you up in a way that maybe if there was something that got missed, you'd be able to just feel like you didn't miss anything because you'll listen, you know, and that's great. And it's also available, I think, through Athey Women. You can watch that through YouTube as well. So either way, and it's great. I love that we have a smaller group because we have prayer circles afterwards. And for those of you online, I hope that you guys are also able to participate in prayer. And then also, if there's bigger questions, I want to make sure we distinguish between Titus 2 moms, which those will be the ladies in the prayer circles. Those are the ladies that are there for prayer and encouragement. But if it goes a little bit deeper and it's just a deeper situation, then that's when we will move you over to the Judy and the Jamie department. And I say that because there's two Judys, two Jamies, who will actually help you on the counseling side. Because we need that. And I am one of those ladies that needs that. Trust me, every one of those ladies that I just listed has heard me run off about things before. So you guys should understand that is part of what the ministry at Athey Creek is to help you stay grounded in the Lord and to help us just, you know, if we're sort of getting off of true north, to help get us back, right? So I'm so glad that we have that. But in the prayer circles, definitely, definitely ask for prayer. You know, I need help with having my child sleep through the night. I'd love prayer for that. My husband's taking an extra shift. I'd love prayer for him. That's the circles. If it goes bigger, like my husband's an alcoholic and he's taking an extra shift, that goes to the counseling department. If it's I suddenly stopped feeding my baby, that goes to the counseling department. Does this make sense? Please, everyone, shake your head. Okay, good. Yes, good. Okay, we're good. That's great. Okay, let's just review what we talked about last week a little bit. So in Psalm 77, verse 14, it says, and these I wrote down so I won't slow you down, but it says, you are the God who works wonders. You've made known your might among the peoples. And that is what I want you guys to, if you want to write down something in your journal, I would write out that whole scripture. Because truly, it's helping us to focus. Okay, here's the deal. He is God. This entity that we serve is not just a lower G, it's a capital G. And he's the God who works wonders. And he's made known his might among the peoples. And the reason why I think that that is just perfect for us to start tonight is because we need to remind ourselves sometimes when you're in the middle of raising your kids and you're feeling like you've said for the 1,000th time to do something in a certain way, that God is, he is the God that works mighty wonders. He works wonders. And that's not just huge, like, oh, children of Israel, oh my goodness, wow, how did he part the Red Sea? That same God is your God. And you literally can call him into your situation. And he's the God who works wonders. So sometimes you might look at your child and say, wow, he is the God who works wonders. But in 25 or 30 years from now, you're going to look back and say, wow, he is the God who works wonders. And it's a sweet, sweet thing. And just press forward. Keep pressing forward with how Paul has said. I press forward towards that prize that you're called to this. And that's what you're able to do as a mom. Just keep pressing on every day. And I know sometimes it's you know, going to feel a little bit like, wow, is this Groundhog's Day? Oh my goodness, wow. And you've got the Babe, I've Got You Babe song going off, like how it does on that movie. But, and I know that it seems like that, but suddenly, and I was just talking to a sweet mom who her son's birthday is today, so she's not here, but she was in tears saying, how could my baby be this old? How could my baby be this old? And we've had questions with that. And we might do a session, maybe not in this 9 weeks, but maybe a little bit later for the older moms, the moms who have done a few laps and are like, man, my nest is empty. And now what is my purpose? But you guys are not there right now. You're in the trenches and you're saying, wow, I totally know what my purpose is. Now I need to have about 10 more cups of coffee. Okay. So we want to help you have some focus. And I think that besides caffeine, this will actually help you to remember that he has made known his might among the peoples. So this is your time in your life where calling on the Lord should not just be something that is on Wednesday night or on Tuesday night when you're at Bible study or Sunday or Saturday at church, but depending on which services you go to. But I mean, I remember, and Marna and I spoke about this last week after the Bible study, how sweet it was to raise our kids and the interaction that I had. I told her, I understand how the Bible says a woman is saved in childbearing because, you know, that word salvation, and that's in Romans where it says that. It's Romans, do you remember offhand, Judy, where that is? Romans, a woman, we'll find it. But it's the sozo, it's S-O-Z-O in the Greek. And that word, it's the full meaning of salvation. It's not just you're saved and you're going to heaven. So it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean a woman shall go to heaven through her childbearing. A lot of people misinterpret that, but it's because they don't look into the original text. So in the original text, the Greek is literally to be made whole, to be healed, to be saved. It's to know the full aspect of the salvation of God. And so you're in an honored group. That's the truth. Not everyone gets to be a mom. There's a lot of women who wish they could be a mom, and not everyone gets that. And so, yes, we have days where it's going to take all your might, but remember that you're blessed and remember that you're chosen. You really are chosen, and that it's a sweet, sweet, sweet spot that you get to be in right now. And part of the beauty of that is a woman shall be saved in her childbearing. I remember just reading little stories to my kids, and I had, they're not in print anymore, and I wish they were, but it was called Bible Read Aloud Stories. Really good book, huge. The coloring was amazing, really got your attention, and you're like, great, Debbie, we can't have these books because they're out of print. Sometimes you can find them on like Etsy and stuff, so it's worth it because those read aloud stories were amazing to capture the picture for a child. So a dyslexic little kiddo could easily understand God's word at an early age, okay? Some things that you can't screen for and you might not know until your child's older, the big, huge picture books that are really getting the word of God out is just awesome and can minister to your child, but it can also minister to you. So I remember going through the story and reading through, oh, Genesis, and then I remember going through and reading a little story of when Jesus healed the man who was blind. And the way they explain that, like at first he said, I see trees. And that it was explaining it in a way that little kids can understand, but it was so sweet because the delivery in God's word through that medium, if you'd say, was just, it was so tender and so sweet. And before I knew it, I was crying while I'm reading my kids, these sweet stories, because the to be healed part, it was amazing. The holes that God filled in my life by me pouring into my kids, it was awesome to watch the Lord just be able to go, here we go. We're going to fill up the holes. We're going to fill up a lot of holes. And then you're better, you know? And the Lord is able to do that. So he really does do wondrous deeds. And I'm so sorry because my notes are on my phone and I got locked out. We're good though. We're good. I got it. So, the other thing that we talked about last week was Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 and 20. And I held up this book, Choose Life book. We have it in the bookstore. If you guys feel like you want an added kind of, it's sort of picture book-ish, but there's a few questions in there to help you think a little bit too. But I was looking through it today and I was like, yeah, I'm thankful that we were able to produce this because it does get to the basics as far as parenting and what that looks like. And if you're new to being a Christian, the one thing that I like about this book is that it's kind of a training tool that you can do in terms of understanding. Like the first week talks about creation. And that's really important to grab that because you want your kids to know that they're created. And then the second week talks about mercy. And that's really important for you to understand yourself because before you step into the role of disciplining your kids, I want you to be really comfortable with God's mercy that he has shown in your life. That way, any kind of background, any kind of abuse behavior, any kind of stuff that happened to you, we are not doing a repeat. That is stopping. And that stops by you understanding mercy and aspects of the fall and what the concept of family is. Each week there's a different thing. So law and order and God's sufficiency and what the good news is and then choosing life. That's what this study was about. And I'm probably gonna end up repeating this study at some point because it's just a healthy, good study to go through and just for all the foundations. But in Deuteronomy 30 verses 19 and 20, God says, "This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." So choosing life is something that you do on a daily basis as a mom. And you have all kinds of opportunities to not choose life. You can think on the negative, and as we get older, it becomes easier and easier to go in that route and ruminate on things that are not good for us. Social media is gonna be a huge fun sucker to your brain and your children. You've gotta really manage that. Phone use for your kids, the disconnection that can take place between you and your kids if you're on the phone or if you're giving it as a babysitter to your kids. You may as well just kiss goodbye connectivity that you have between your kids if you're gonna have that phone be the replacement. So, you know, just kiss your phone because that's what you're gonna get in 30 years. It's just nothing, okay? Battery off, no relationship. And I don't mean to be all doom and gloomy about that, but it's stark. The statistics on that, how much it deadens our reaction and just our sensory load in our mind, how much it just deadens all of that. And Kenzie, who is gonna have Boaz soon, we were talking about just the effects and impacts of social media on the brain and how the dopamine hit, if the phone is the first thing a person looks at and the first thing in the morning, they look at Instagram and they, you know, that's your high for the day. After that, your brain can't actually assess anything else that's higher than that. That's the highest your brain's gonna get. So that's ridiculous. Who wants to exchange that? Put down the phone and get into real life and love your kids. Choose life in that area, right? And when we talk about our kids and what that looks like for discipline, we want to teach them by modeling to them what choosing life looks like, right? So I'm gonna read to you a quote by Elizabeth Elliot from that book that I mentioned. And it says, "The way we live ought to manifest the truth of what we believe. A messy life speaks of a messy and incoherent faith." So I love that quote because, you know, it's not just having a messy house. That's not what she's talking about. You could have a messy house and pick it up, all that stuff. She's talking about your life. And when I hear that quote, I think of Deuteronomy 30 that we just read because are we choosing life or are we choosing death? And do we have things we need to work on and clean up? And I'm asking you this not to be probing and not to be insensitive and not to be rude or any of those things, but I'm saying for the benefit of your child, before we have some kind of a behavioral plan for your child, we probably need to visit what's my behavioral plan for myself. That is also a safeguard for you. Because when you take a second to really think about things, you can say, okay, hold on a second. There's some things I need to talk to the Lord about regarding this. Before I ask my kids to do A, B, and C, I need to make sure that myself, that I'm actually reflecting what I actually want to reflect to my kids. So that's just a very important thing. It's crucial. It's so crucial. And we can talk about all kinds of things, behavioral cycles, that things that you don't maybe even know and you're not aware of, but you cycle that stuff through before your child has learned a word. Your child is learning those same cycles. But I love what Dr. Caroline Leaf says, going on the other side of things. She's a neurologist, a scientific neurologist. So she's the one that really studied and came up with the whole term of neuroplasticity, which everyone's talking about now in the secular world. But Dr. Caroline Leaf is a believer. She set about studying the mind according to God's word, because she said she saw it in scripture, but she didn't see it in science. And she knew that if it was in God's word, it could be proven scientifically. So that's what she went about to study. And people were telling her all the time. And I remember when I was a kid, if someone had gotten in an accident and they had brain damage and they were in a coma, they would use the word vegetable and they would be no more. They would, you know, that person would not be able to survive and not be alive. And she said, no, I think that there is a route for people to take who have had severe brain damage, and I want to study that. And so she did. So she has done a life full of work that you guys can all study and learn just from a scientific behavior perspective. But if you want something that has a lot of scripture in it, get the Switching on Your Brain book and then pray through that while you read through that. If you've had some tricky things in your background, she is going to teach you about renewing your mind. And she's going to teach you so many things about choosing life and how you can actually select that. And the reason why I bring that up is because it is so important. And I believe I have not been to an official rehab meeting, but I believe one of the steps on there is acknowledging that you're the one that's responsible for your own behavior. And see, that's something that's very important for us to grab onto as parents, as moms and dads, that you're responsible for your own behavior, and then you want to pass that on to your kids. You are responsible for your own behavior. It's so important. And if you go through these steps and processes and you pray through it, and if some of this stuff already has got you kind of rumbly in your tumbly, like Winnie the Pooh says, if some of that, you know, just write these things down, and then you can definitely call the church office and ask to speak to someone in our counseling department to help you walk through what these things look like, to actually give yourself some grace, but to keep moving forward. Because the point is, we're learning and we're moving forward and we want to continue to pursue God, and we want to do that in a way that reflects Him and is honoring to Him. And then, like Elizabeth Elliot said, we want to have a coherent faith. We want that. And we want to model that to our kids. And not in a legalistic way, that's not what I'm saying, but in a way that actually brings coherence to your home. Does that make sense? Okay, so choosing life in all of life's situations and decisions, there are consequences all our days. And we want to have a good judgment, use wisdom, and look to God and follow Him. I remember one mom who prayed to the Lord and asked specifically for her guidance for her son. And the Lord spoke to her and said, she asked Him specifically, when I say no, how many times should I say no? And the Lord told her specifically, one time. And she said, one time? And the Lord said, one time. And so she said, okay, I'm going to do what the Lord, again, her being obedient, she said, okay, I'm going to do what the Lord asked me. I'm going to train my son, no, one time, and then there's going to be a consequence. Sorry, there's a hair, and I just really apologize. Wow. It just really loves this microphone. It's like, I don't know if you guys can see, but there's like a little wire string and one little hair, just, not good with the lip gloss. Okay, back to the story of the mom. So she went with what the Lord said and said, okay, I'm going to obey God and I'm going to teach my child no. And so she did that. So 15 years went by or so, and the son was then in high school and he was on a band trip and the mom was not there. And the band director later told her, I want to compliment you on how you have raised your child. And she said, thank you. Why? And he said, he would have lost his life if he did not respond when I told him no the very first time, because the kids were going to cross the street and there was a bus that went by. And I looked and I saw Scott and I said, Scott, no. And Scott stopped. And he said, I just want to thank you for teaching your son to obey. And that mom said, Lord, I'm thankful that I obeyed. It saved my son's life. So that's the kind of interaction, kind of looping back to what I was saying before, that I was talking to Marna about, how amazing it is in terms of that wholeness. You may have been raised completely differently in a non-biblical home, or in a home where the Bible wasn't really threaded into your life. And that's okay, because God can help you renew every day and start every day over. It is fresh. In Lamentations, it says, it's steadfast love of the Lord that never ceases. His mercies are new every morning. And so through forgiveness and through mercy and through Christ's sufficiency, you're able to take whatever it is in the past and set it back there, and you move forward. And it's the most free way to live. And of course, the enemy would not want you to be there in that free place. And then that's where the Titus 2 women and the counseling women come into play, is to help you have that encouragement to, no, I can stand strong on this, and I could choose life in this thing. Does that make sense? Okay. I'm going baby steps, no pun intended, but it's because I want to make sure that we don't miss some of the things that I think the elements that the Lord could be showing us tonight, you know. In addition to choosing life, we want to give the opportunity for our children to connect faith with salvation. To me, that is huge. Obedience as fruit and a response, and salvation with faith. By grace we are saved. Salvation cannot be received without faith. So many of you know that I, a couple years back, read through a biography on Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and then read his book. He wrote a ton of books. He had 2 doctorates, like, by he was 21 years old. He ended up being hung by the Nazis for standing up for the Jews. He was a brilliant mind. And in one of his books that I read, he talked so much about the discipline within our life as Christians, but it was not, he expressed over and over, yes, there's discipline in our life, but it's because we are helpless without God. We're helpless without Jesus. So that kind of fragility in your walk with the Lord needs to be something that you're reminding yourself of every day. The Lord makes us weak. He makes us frail humans. And he knows that. He knows that we're just dust. He understands that we're going to make messes. And he's going to be there for us to clean them up. So then take that same behavior and model that to your kids. You know there's going to be messes, and you're going to be there for them to clean them up. So that's not a punitive situation, is it? That's just human. That's just a toddler being human. Now, let's look at the other side of it, okay? Choosing life, as far as Deuteronomy chapter 30. So you are given the responsibility to drive a car, for instance, and you do not put your seatbelt on. Even though it's a law, doesn't matter though, you're going to blow that off. And you're going to not use your seatbelt. And then you're also going to go ahead and speed. And so you're going 90 miles an hour, no seatbelt, and you're also going to be going the wrong way on the freeway. Are there going to be consequences? Those are going to be very natural consequences. Is it because anyone hates you that happened? Is that anything? No. Okay. So that's just consequences, right? We have really terrible judgment. We make big mistakes, and we have horrible consequences. That is a concept you're going to be needing to really relate that to your kids and help them take the pressure off of themselves. The last thing we want to do as moms is to make our kids feel terrible just for being human. But we do want them to understand when they make a choice. And that, tying into some of the things Dr. Caroline Leaf talked about, yes, we're given DNA. Yes, we're given proclivities towards certain things. Maybe some people do have alcoholism that's horrible in their family. But does that mean you have to become an alcoholic? No. No. Does it mean you take measures and steps? Yes. Put on the seatbelt. Look at the driving directions. Notice the speed limit on the road. Notice the direction of the other cars. Being self-aware in your circumstances, that is something very important for you to take in personally and choose life in that situation and renew your mind in that situation. I've been given the responsibility of driving this car. I've been given the amazing gift of a seatbelt in this car. I actually have eyes and I can read, and my feet move and I can drive. and I passed my test and I have my license and I'm gonna go the right way on the road. And that's a choice, step by step, that you and God make together. There's not a bunch of outside stuff screaming at you about anything in that scenario. And that's the same idea that to, yes, a little 15-month-old and a little 20-month-old and then a 22-month-old, you can say those exact same principles to your kids and say, which do you choose? And you can do that with something that maybe is easy. I don't suggest food because not all kids love vegetables and not all kids love fruit and not all kids love all these things. So sometimes people, I don't want to set you up for a fall, right? By saying, oh, put out the, you know, all the four food groups or whatever, put out those and have you, and make sure you have extra of the vegetables and have them choose life. They'll never do it. Never do it. They'll choose something opposite. Maybe nothing. Maybe chew on the paper, you know? So I don't want to set you up in that way. I'm just saying, in terms of your mindset, don't be intimidated by just life and what God's given you. Actually embrace it. And then teach your kids to know, you know what? The Lord's going to help us every single day. There's food in front of us right now. Let's pray. Let's thank the Lord for this food. Let's be grateful. That's something in our minds that we can do to work and change the way we view things. And by you reflecting that to your kids, they're going to be a lot more thankful as they grow up. And they're going to be a lot more gracious and a lot more of greater ability to be able to thank God for the blessings that come into their life. So I did want to make sure you guys also understand, though, the comfort of God. So in Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30, if you want to just write that down. That scripture says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So I'm going to transition now to talking about the happy chat, but I do that with the buffer that the Lord says to you, come to me, all who are weary and burdened. I think sometimes as moms, it's easy for us to take personally the decisions that these little kiddos who are just human, what they're learning, again, separating yourself from that problem and understanding they are learning how to actually live. And that means sometimes they're going to blow off the seatbelt rule, right? And we don't want that. We're going to help redirect them and help them say, hey, you might want to do this, but that is incorrect. We're going to redirect you. We're going to re-steer you so that you have a good outcome. That's part of what you do as a mom. But remember that when you get tired, I'm not even going to say if you get tired. Whoever you are that just breezes through motherhood, good for you. Come talk to us. But I'm not one of those. I remember I was very tired, especially during those younger ages. And it's the younger ages that takes the most energy out of you. And then when they transition, which we'll hit that in a few weeks, that's when you have to, the mental game gets turned on in the junior high age and high school era. That's when it's, oh my goodness, wow, not as much physical, but actually more of a mental. You have to be four or five steps ahead. But at this age, just remember, even if it's at nighttime, as you're laying your head down on the pillow, just remember Matthew 11, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Receive the rest that the Lord Jesus wants to give you. We all need it. We all need it. We have been wired for rest, and it's something that we need. But I do think it's interesting that the Lord does say, come. Like he's inviting, but we need to reciprocate and say, I want to take that rest. I want to take that rest. It doesn't mean that the next morning is not going to be difficult or that in the middle of the night you might get woken up to barf. That might happen. It has happened. Barf all over the walls, 1 week into a new house. It happens, okay? New place, great. Brand new carpet, sorry. Sorry, landlord or whatever, you know? It happens. All of you have a different set of circumstances that you need to face. And just don't let the enemy let you play the victim card, because you're not a victim. The Lord has absolutely overcome all of this. So as you go step by step, If you're tired, say, Lord, I am and I need your rest. And then he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So stay in his word, even if it's just a sentence or two, like I said, a proverb, even if you just catch a couple of the sentences out of the proverb, but learn of him and keep yourself in that place of wanting to learn, because that's gonna help you a lot in learning your own little kiddo. Because as you're interfacing with the Lord, which is gonna be all the time, it'll be daily, moment by moment, there's without him, you can do nothing. In John 15, he is the vine, you are the branches. Clinging to him throughout the day, your faith is gonna be filled so that at the end of the day, you'll be able to say, Lord, I am tired, but I'm so thankful for your rest. And today I learned from you. I took that yoke and I learned from you. And it was restful for me. It was a hard day today, but it was restful for me. And I thank you for that. And you can ask him for help for the next day. So now, Lord, tonight, I'm not sure what, you know, I pray for a peaceful sleep. Can you help me to have a good outlook on things when I wake up in the morning? And then try to do this. I am focusing on this part for a second because this part has to get dealt with before we ever look at the punitive stuff in terms of correction for your kids. Does that make sense to everyone? Okay, good, I'm really glad. All right, now we're going to, everyone should have received a little brochure, Happy Chat brochure. If you did not get that, you can get one at the back by the info table. So this is just a little guide for you, okay? This kind of puts together the information that we have collected over the years and just kind of puts it in a little behavioral plan, if you would, in terms of your mind, to help you go, it's a recipe, let's say that. It's a discipline recipe, all right? Technically, the way I've explained it before, what the Happy Chat is actually a reset. It's a time when you realize, wow, I have not been taking responsibility for my actions in this home. I have let my kids do A, B, and C, and there's been not the consequences that I promised to them, and you need a reset. So Happy Chat, what it is a time for you to be able to sit the kids down. And if you only have one kiddo, you can do this extra easily. But it's a time when you say, okay, we're gonna change the way we've been doing things. It looked like this before, but now it's gonna look like this. And the consequence is gonna be this. You have to fill in all these blanks. This is your life, okay? So in this little brochure, it kind of goes through. And then I think on the third page there, okay? I'm gonna go through a little talk as though we're doing it, okay? Now, here is my little, like, let's just say 3.5-year-old, okay? I know, a little small, needs to eat, but okay. So we just had brownies and we just had milk and everything's great and we're doing good. We've had a good afternoon and things are good and nobody hit anyone and things are good. But yesterday I noticed, I think we've let things get out of control. And so I know that it's not fair to this little guy to allow him to continue to act like that. And I'm not responsible as a mom if I let that go unchecked. So we're good right now. Everything's good. But I'm going to say, let's just say partner. No, that's not good because it's not Toy Story and I don't like that. We misuse the word partner. What's a good word? Let's say Bobby, you know, let's say Bobby. Hey, Bobby, how you doing? Good, Mom, thanks for the brownies. They were so good. Can I clean up my room and put the dishes away for you? Yeah, okay. So I'm gonna say, hey, Bobby. So this is in the brochure thing, okay? Let's take a break and have some milk and cookies, which we did, and he loved them. Okay, a few minutes later, the cookies are down the hatch and you're off on the couch or another comfortable spot, which is here, the chair right now. Okay, everyone is in the happy zone now. This is crucial to the Happy Chat. I claim the Happy Chat. You are not allowed to call it a Happy Chat if you are actually not happy. If you sense any unhappiness, it is not a Happy Chat and you need to stop, okay? So now I'm gonna say, Bobby, I noticed that, let's fill in the blank. This is the only one child. Actually, according to my brochure, there should be two pillows here, so I apologize. But we'll say, Bobby, I noticed that you have been kicking a hole in the wall every night before you go to bed. And this is glaringly obvious that we're not going to be doing this. Okay. So, and not patching up the hole in the wall. Okay. So, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Okay. So now it says list one or two specific examples. So if I were to go with this hole in the wall thing, so when mommy and daddy tuck you into bed,
yes,
and you're supposed to stay in your bed,
yes.
So you get out of your bed and you kick the wall.
Yes.
Bobby is very clear on what Bobby's been doing right now, okay? All right, so you clearly explain what the new plan is, okay? Then I say, okay, Bobby, from now on, when I ask you to, in this example, it says clean your room, but I'm gonna say go to bed. When I ask you to go to bed, I want you to stay in your bed and no more kicking the wall. And we agree. If you do not stay in your bed, and if you kick the wall, there will be three spankings, one for every age that you are, one for every year, one, two, three. Is that understood, Bobby? Yes, it's very understood. And Bobby goes to bed. Isn't that great? Bed. No hole, no kicking. Okay, so that helps you go through what an actual reset is, okay? Because we did that in the afternoon, the day goes on, and now I've put Bobby to bed, okay? We wake up in the next morning and there's a hole in the wall. And there's a hole, even though we had this talk. So now, this is where it's good that I am mobile with this microphone. So now, and I'm only doing this, you guys, because I have been asked to do this several times. So now we have to change the set, okay? Now we have to pretend that now I am in the room. And I say, good morning, Bobby. I noticed there's a hole in your wall. Yes, there is a hole in my wall. Do you remember us talking last night? Yes, I do. Bobby, go sit on the chair because this is the spanking chair, okay? So now me, the mom, Bobby's on the chair. The hole's over here somewhere, okay? As a mom, I say, and this is very important, and I'm not making light of this. It seems silly because I said a hole in the wall, but I literally have to say, where am I at, Lord, with this? Because if I'm flustered in any way, this is not, like, we're stopping this. Bobby will stay in the chair. I'll figure out the hole. It's not going to matter. If I'm good, if my heart is good, all right, I'm clear with the Lord. Clearly, I know I'm dialed. I'm tuned in. Jesus and I are communing, okay? And that child needs a spanking, okay? I need to deliver on what I promised that child because that makes me a liar. I told Bobby would get three spanks. Why would I want to represent God by not doing what I said? That is horrible of me to not actually deliver on what I said because we want Bobby to walk in faith, trusting God's word. And God keeps his promises. So who am I to not keep mine? Okay, so now I go to Bobby and I sit down next to Bobby. So now this has changed. This is not Debbie's stool anymore. This is the spanking chair. Okay, so now we're sitting right here. And I say, Bobby, do you know why you're here? And Bobby says, yes. Tell me why you're here. I am here because last night you went over the rules and I did not keep the rules. And you literally have Bobby tell you why Bobby's here. And Bobby, what did mommy tell you would happen if you did that again? Mommy said I would get three spanks. Okay, so let's receive your punishment. And then Bobby will sit over my lap like this with the big bum right there. I don't suggest pulling down the jeans or any of that stuff. Don't make the child be embarrassed, but you do need to make sure that you're not gonna thwack onto a 2-inch thick diaper because that does nothing. That feels like this. That does nothing to Bobby. So just to the side where there's a little bit of spring in the step of the spanking paddle, which I don't have a paddle, so I think I'm gonna pretend. You have to pretend this is a paddle, okay? I don't have my paddle. Don't use your hand because your hand needs to be, come and talk to me. Come and talk. Hold my hand. I love you. You're my special. I love you, Bobby. But get a implement. Okay, now Bobby's been here for a very long time. Let's not make Bobby wait. Okay, back to it. So I will already have my paddle or my spoon, and I'll take that spoon and I will administer the thinking. 1, 2, 3. And they need to hurt. Now Bobby's crying. So Bobby will sit here and cry for a couple minutes because Bobby feels a high regard for his own self. He's feeling a little embarrassed. He also feels guilty. But that spanking is helping him recognize that he passed a boundary. Or Bobby feels remorse, and Bobby feels like he wants to start all over, and he's right. So it can go either way. This is why maybe in one scenario, I say the next night, okay, good night, Bobby, and there's a hole in the wall again, and we're going to be right back here again. Okay? I want you to know your kids are not going to be magical and just get this all the time, okay? There's going to, and obviously a hole in the wall is very extreme. Like you would actually probably do, it would be, you would have that child, like you would really have to shock. We would be seeing you in the counseling office because that kind of extreme anger would have to get dealt with, you know, quickly. And there would be a problem. But in this scenario, let's go with that Bobby is sorry. And Bobby is not only sorry, but it's, Mommy, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And what you say to Bobby is, Bobby, Mommy forgives you. You received your punishment. Now God forgives you and Mommy forgives you. And now let's go and start over. And I will pray with Bobby. Dear Jesus, I thank you for Bobby. I thank you that you love Bobby, that you want Bobby to grow up to be a good man that people can rely on and trust and feel safe with. And thank you that you're going to do amazing things in Bobby's life and that you, Jesus, love Bobby. Amen. And you start over with that child and you say to this child, Mommy will not bring this up in an embarrassing way for you. We're not going to talk about it. We're not going to say, Bobby hit the wall. Bobby just can't stop kicking the wall. We're not going to do any of that stuff. You are protected in this way. You know what the rules are, and now let's go live. And in the best scenario, which really ends up being more often than not, Bobby will learn quickly because Bobby understands, wow, I'm gonna throw Bobby behind the stump now, so okay. Bobby will learn quickly what Mommy says Mommy means, and I can trust Mommy, and what Daddy says Daddy means, and I can trust my parents. And I'm not gonna go outside the boundaries without really counting the cost. Because at a young age, you have established what that cost is. They need to associate the sting and sharpness and pain that goes along with sin in order to avoid a freeway incident of just blowing off all rules and just doing whatever they want and just wrecking everything and possibly themselves and someone else. That's the ultimate. What we're trying to help avoid is just the nasty choices in life that can happen like this because kids were not taught to, there is a boundary. And if you put a big toe over that boundary, you're gonna meet me in the chair. Or maybe it's a bench, or maybe it's the edge of the bed, or whatever it is. But I hope, does that process make sense to you as far as how we walked through that? Okay, great. So now on this, In my case, for me, I chose in the Happy Chat to warn my kids first. And where I got that from, actually, Judy Slaughter. She was doing the home builders workshops, and I was not really knowing where I should go, but I knew my husband wanted me to spank. I just didn't know what it would look like. And Judy said something that just made so much sense. She said, you as a mom determine what that boundary is. Maybe it's one warning, maybe it's no warning, maybe it's three warnings, maybe it's five, but pick the same one and be consistent and do the same thing every time so that that child, again, learning that what you say is what you mean and that you're consistent and that you're trustworthy. So in doing that, I thought, you know what? I'm gonna go with one warning because I had my kids close. And when you have a little baby and then you have a 15 and a half month old 15 and a half months later, you have another baby. Sometimes it could feel like you had triplets because you teach the one and then you teach the next one that's coming. And then the older one learns this again. And you have to say, no, we just taught you this. Wait, why are you teaching this? And then I had a third one. And then they're all three doing it over and over. So I thought, wait a minute. So we've got to have a warning. I think I've got to have a way that I know it keeps me in a place where I am peaceful and I double check that child one, child two, and child three have all been warned. That was for me. Maybe for you guys, maybe you are okay with two warnings. For me, that was a little bit too much rope to let out because it just kind of made things a little bit too wiggly. And so that's why I chose one warning. We go with that in the happy chat, but you can alter that. It's whatever you and your husband decide on, but you make sure you stay consistent and you stay locked like cement together, okay? So that nothing can wiggle in between you two, okay? You and your husband, nothing. Do you know who's gonna try to pry mommy and daddy right open? Your kid. Your kid's gonna try to do it. And the way they're gonna do it is gonna be to go to mommy and ask a question and then go to daddy and ask a question based on the different answer than what the child wanted from mommy, gonna go over to, so Brett and I learned, what did daddy say? Or did you check with mommy? We did that too, that was our fail-safe to stop the back and forth, okay? But these are little tricks of the trade. We're gonna pass on more as the weeks go, okay? So I hope that this has been helpful for you to go over the happy chat. I wanna say, are there any questions? But what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna address a couple of questions that came through online. Send in the questions if you have questions about any of this. So the one question that I think is good as far as focusing in on, it's right in this pocket that you guys are concerned about right now, the age group, is what exactly do you spank for? Okay, so to me, that is a question that you need to decide. Okay, but I think the obvious thing is we touched on it a little bit earlier. You never spank just for being human. If someone spilled milk, it was an accident. If someone spilled milk over their sister's head, that is not an accident. So you just have to, you kind of have to go with, is it just human error and a oopsie, or was it actually intentional? That will help you get into the category of, oh my goodness, we have to develop what the plan is for this. We have not actually, it's gonna be a surprise every day sometimes. Like, oh my goodness, I didn't know that this child could actually do this. But your child can. That's the amazing thing. Your child is so smart and that's so good. So you wanna bring all the potential out in them that you can. And such a good way to do that is to free them up to know exactly what all the boundaries are. Does that make sense? Okay. So on the next page of the Happy Chat, I go through a few questions, okay, for you to ask yourself. What are some reset talking points that you can think of? Now, to that mom with the 19-month-old that wrote in, I would say you need to ask yourself that question. What are the things that are creating strife in your home that are, it's just too much? Maybe there's balls that are getting run, you know, thrown into the window or something. I don't even know what, whatever it is. You need to ask yourself, what are the actual reset points that we're gonna talk about? Ask yourself that so that you have a vision of what it is you need to talk to your child about. Then you say, what is the best time of day to have the happy chat? So for a 19-month-old, maybe it's in the morning. Maybe it's after a yummy breakfast and you're ready just right before your walk. Maybe that's the best time to have a happy chat. Then list out your strategy for developing the happy chat. Maybe your 19-month-old does not like any form of dessert. And maybe your 19-month-old loves carrots. So that's gonna be your happy chat. That's, oh, you're gonna have carrots and you're gonna have a glass of milk and that's gonna make be the happy zone for your 19-month-old. Does that make sense? Okay. Clearly define the priorities you would like to see brought out in your home. Okay, I'm gonna share a story that actually happened in our life, and it was with Brooke and it was with Brett. And this goes to this point, clearly defining the priorities that you would like to see brought out in your home. Okay, we were down in Southern Oregon and Brooke was little. It was before I had Joey. So she was very verbal, by the time he was born, which was right around 16 months old. So it was before I had Joey. So I remember it was a sunny day and we were in our home and I had gotten things kind of organized because we were going to have company and I was going to remove a candy dish from the coffee table. And Brett said, no, I think tonight we're going to go ahead and leave that candy dish right there. Now me, Brett knowing me too, I'm more emotionally driven. Brett is a logical thinker. He was seeing down the road what was going to happen if we were to become, like me, emotionally driven. We would have broken candy dishes everywhere, and we would have a mess, and we would have frustrated parents and frustrated kids and frustrated guests and all of that. But Brett, being logical and also having the foresight, and how Marna referred to this before, just in terms of our complementarian view that we have as a church, that's what we take, giving the man the role of being able to determine what the direction of our family is going to be. So Brett said, we are not going to be those people that host and our guests have to be careful because we're not doing that. Our children are going to learn how to obey. And I said, whoa, okay, I don't know really what that looks like. So you're going to have to show me. And so he did. So he said, let's leave out the candy dish. And he took Brooke and he had Brooke in his arms. And, you know, Brett's big arms, you know, and he just was having his own little happy chat, right? He said, oh, Brooke, do you see this? And he was pointing at different things. And yes, I said, what's that called? And making sure she can understand. She had many words developed by that time. And he looked at the candy dish that had M&Ms in it, which we knew she knew what M&Ms were. And we knew she loved M&Ms. And he said, do you see the M&Ms? Yes. They're in the candy dish? Yes. Daddy does not want you to touch that candy dish. And she just, you know, looked and she said back to him, no, we said no touchy. You know, that was kind of our thing for that age, no touchy. And I thought, wow, how is this going to work out? I mean, she is little, you know. And so then he said, went back to the table and he did three or four times. He said, what is that candy dish? Do we touch it? No. Very clear. What is that? Candy dish. No touchy. Very clear that she knew it. Okay? So then, and he told me ahead of time, you watch what I'm going to do right now. And he wasn't saying that in a watch. He was setting the tone for our family, you know? So it was like a marked moment in my life. And so he set her down and he said, Daddy's going to go now. And he walked just right outside the room. And I knew that I was to watch the whole situation because Brett knew what was going to happen. And sure enough, Brooke looked at the candy dish. She looked at Brett. And then she looked at the candy dish. And then she blinked her eyelashes at Brett. And then she touched the candy dish. And then Daddy came and swooped her up and said, Brookie. So his voice changed a little bit. Brookie, what did Daddy tell you? She knew she was busted, right? She knew she was busted. That is a 16-month-old, okay? If your child is verbal and can walk and can touch and blink her eyes, it is time for a happy chat, okay? So Brett was good on his word and he gave her a little spank. And she cried and she cried and she was crying in his arms, his big strong arms were holding her. And he said, Daddy loves you. Daddy loves you. Daddy forgives you. And I know you can do better next time. Daddy loves you and I forgive you. It's okay. And there was reconciliation in that moment. There was separation for a minute because of the disobedience, but then there was reconciliation because of acknowledgement. And the punishment led to that reconciliation. And things were squared away. And you know what? Brett made my life a lot easier in that moment. He took a few minutes to deal with something that he knew was going to be a huge obstruction. And God knew that we needed that because And some of you know the story. When Joey was born, he ended up having a couple of surgeries as a little guy that I had to be away at a hospital. It was very serious. And Brooke needed to obey. She needed to be an obedient little girl. And it was to her benefit that Brett was going to have the foresight to know, we have to get our family in order on this and not back down. And that's the very same thing that you ladies can do and your husbands, that you guys can do too, is you take the direction and you stay with that direction. And in doing that, you're abiding in Christ, you're talking to the Lord, you're asking God, is this what we're wanting to do? So on this, clearly define what it is you would like to see brought out in your home, okay? So if you want calm when company comes over, if you want to be able to have treats out and not have little hands in and out of it and whatnot, you are welcome to do that. It's your decision. But whatever it is you decide, be consistent on that. So then if you go to point number 5, in looking at past strategies, assess if they have produced the outcome you expected. I can easily actually look at that moment in time and say, yes, it totally produced an amazing outcome. That was so good. And then keep note of those things and then implement that into other areas of your life as well. And then on point 6, what are some adjustments you may need to make? Are you a little wibbly wobbly on your direction? Are you not sounding clear? Going the other direction, is your yes, yes, and is your no, no? And do your kids know that? So use that kind of thought process to assess. And then on point 7, have you communicated to your parents and in-laws about the behavior plan you have for your home? I'm gonna tell you another story, okay? I'm gonna tell you a Grandma Brenda and Grandpa Todd story. So Brett and I, when I was pregnant with Casey, Brett and I got asked to go be camp counselors for a senior trip, which was in Hawaii, which was wonderful. It did include camping, and my little raft thing that we had to sleep on did break, and I was about 6 weeks pregnant, so I was nauseous, but it was great, okay? There was sand and there was a beach. Give me the water and I'm fine, okay? But in order to do that trip, we had to leave the kids, and I was not wanting to do that. But sweet Grandma Brenda and Grandpa Todd said, we'll watch the kids. And I thought, oh my goodness, that's amazing. It was just for about 5 days, but I thought, wow, I don't know if we're gonna have a chance to do this ever, you know, again, because Casey was gonna come. So we get home from the trip. Everything went great. And we get home, and Grandma Brenda and Grandpa Todd let us know that Grandpa Todd had to deliver a spanking. And we were like, oh, good, but oh. So obviously, I'm communicating to you guys now, make sure and communicate ahead of time what the actual behavior plan is. In our case, it worked out great, okay? But if you don't communicate ahead of time and you put your child in the responsibility of someone else, you cannot ask questions later, is what I'm saying. You need to be very clear, okay? In this case, it was a simple thing and it ended up being good. Brooke and Joey were playing in Joey's room, got a hold of the Desitin, scooched that Desitin right into the carpet, and Grandpa Todd said, you're both getting spankings. And that is the way we would have parented. Because if one leads the other into destruction, you're both guilty. So they did it exactly how we would have done it. I'm just saying, make sure that you talk about those scenarios. But again, that's something I would have never thought, let's have a happy chat about the Desitin, you know? I'm just saying, make sure that everyone's on board with what it is you're doing. We trusted Todd and Brenda so much, there was no question that it was gonna be okay. And do you know, our kids still remember that spanking. They were young and they will tell you. They will tell you they remember that they both got in trouble. So you know what that has done though, through the decades now, is their relationship to Grandma Brenda and Grandpa Todd, it's excellent. It's excellent. They had firm yes, yes, no, no. You had very clear lines, bright lines. You don't cross it. They knew that with Grandma Brenda and Grandpa Todd. And it's healthy. It's healthy. That's how you pass respect on from one generation to the next generation. Law and order is a good thing. And you guys need to be very sure of that as you go about really setting the path straight for your kids. Okay, then the next step is, what is your support like among your extended friends and or family? If you're not on the same page, consider communication regarding this area. Again, these are things that for the past 3 weeks or so, it's pretty clear in the communication between Marna and I that we had a circle of friends. I see Melinda out there and different friends who have been at this study so far. And, you know, we all were able to say, this is what we're doing. This is how we operate business. You know what I'm saying? Store closes at X time. And we all know, you know, we knew in our friends group, our kids were going to be expected to behave a certain way. There was not going to be any punching. There was not going to be any hitting, no disrespect, nobody yelling at the adults or kids. Treat each other kind with kindness and respect, that kind of thing. If you don't have that circle, then make that circle. And that's something you can do. It's great. The Lord will meet you. He is so good to meet us. So I'm going to close up with a couple more scriptures here. Hold on just a second. Okay, we did this. Oh, yes, okay. So in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when you guys have this happy chat and when you go through the whole process that we just talked about, make sure and remember that you can verbatim say the scripture to little Bobby, the pillow, or, you know, your child, and say, now remember, when we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Tell your kids they're clean. Tell your kids they're clean. You are clean by the blood of the Lamb. Tell your kids that. They need to know that they're in the clear, that you see them the way God sees them. By that process of starting over, by confession, they are able, through their faith in the Lord Jesus, which will start at an early age when you explain this process to your kids, they will see, oh man, yes, I make mistakes, but I learn and I can move forward and I can walk in confidence with God. And he loves me and he loves me forever and that will never, ever go away. And that's true for your kids and it's true for you. So walk in that and learn in that way from that vantage point. So we're gonna close now and then break into our circles. And let me just pray. Lord Jesus, I just thank you so much for the good news, for the gospel, for the way that you give us purpose in our life, for the salvation that you offer us and to our kids. I just thank you, Lord, so much for the faith that's being built in the little ones represented by the women in this room. I thank you, Lord, for the faith that's represented by these women in this room. And I pray that our faith would grow, that our love for you would grow, that we would understand and recognize, Lord, how much you do love us, that you died for us, that you obeyed the Father's call and you went to the cross, and you being God, Lord, took on the form of a servant. You did all these things for us. And I pray that you would give us, by your Holy Spirit, the knowledge and wisdom to be able to convey these things to our kids. It's the most important thing that we can do. And I pray, Lord, for each woman here that they would develop a plan in their home for behavior that would make sense to them, that she and her husband could agree on together, that they could work at this, and that there could be order in the homes represented here, Lord. And I pray for your just blessing on each home and safety here and safety as we go, and that you'd be honored and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.